Praise the Lord, everyone. Well, it's so good to see all of you here today. I appreciate everyone's willingness to be here and to sit in those benches. I know they're not comfortable because I used to sit in them myself, so I appreciate all of you being here today, this morning. And what I'd like to do now is open with a prayer, and then we're going to get into the Word. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for this opportunity to come before Thee to study Thy holy Word. We ask, O God, that Thy Spirit would be here and that Thy Spirit would move upon each and every one of us. We ask, O God, that our hearts would be open to receive what Thou wouldst have us to learn this day. We ask, O God, that Thou wouldst give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and hearts that would perceive and understand. We pray this in Jesus' name through the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. I'm going to call this message today, The Shepherd of Our Souls. What I'd like to do to start out with is open to the book of Matthew, the 18th chapter. Of course, this is quite a chapter. There's a lot in here. It covers a variety of topics. Of course, the one thing I plan to zero in on this morning is our shepherd, which, of course, we know is Jesus Christ. So, in Matthew chapter 18, beginning with the first verse, it tells us, At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted, and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. So the disciples, they're talking with Jesus, and they wanted to know, who will be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, you know? And so what does Jesus do? He calls a little child and sets them in their midst, and he tells them that they all need to become as little children. Now what he's referring to there is when a child is young, especially a newborn, they have complete trust in their parents. They rely on them for everything. And that's how we need to be with God. We need to learn to put our complete trust in Him. For we know that He is our Heavenly Father. And He will take care of us if we just have that trust and that hope and we don't doubt Him. The same way a little child never doubts his parents. And said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So we see here he's stressing the importance of being humble. You know, there's no place for pride in the kingdom of heaven. God can't use you if you're prideful. If you're full of yourself, we need to be humble before the Lord. We need to have humility in our lives. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name, receiveth me. We see here that Jesus is also expressing his great love for children, which is a sentiment he further elaborates on as we continue in the chapter. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. And of course we know that in this day and age there's a lot of abortion going around, and I would say that that's bringing about offense to these little ones. It's a despicable reproach upon this land. Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come. But woe to that man by whom the offense cometh. There will be offenses in this world, you can be sure of that. Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. And Jesus here, he's trying to make a point. You know, if your hand or your foot offends you, you know, he's trying to demonstrate that you would be better off continuing on without them so that you can enter into everlasting life. Of course, hopefully, for all of us here, we wouldn't have to resort to such drastic measures. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into hellfire. Verse 10, take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. And of course, that verse is very interesting because it tells us that there are actually angels watching over the little children. And they watch over us too, but he's specifically speaking of the children here, and it tells us not to despise these children. In this day and age, so many children are despised. They're thought of as a burden, as a hassle, and you know, a lot of times, if someone has a lot of children or a large family, and people out in the world, they'll look at you like you're crazy, like you should be ashamed of yourself. But I think large families are wonderful. Of course, I grew up in a bustling household with 7 siblings, and it was great, you know, never a dull moment. I think large families are wonderful. I'd like to have one myself someday, but that's in the Lord's hands. But it tells us here not to despise little children. And, you know, when I think of all the abortion going on out there, it makes me sick, some of the things I come across when I'm writing the newsletter, some of these stories. You know, there's one woman. She had been working at Planned Parenthood, and she had to quit because it was so disturbing working there, some of the stories she told. And she told one story about how a woman came in to get an abortion, and she was crying and obviously having second thoughts about it. And the doctor told her, I don't have time for this. Shut up, you chose to be here. And he's just very cruel. And then there was another doctor at the same Planned Parenthood facility who, this was quite disturbing. He but apparently talked to the babies that he was aborting. According to this woman, this doctor would sometimes say, you know, when he's doing the procedure, he'd say, come on, little arm, I know you're in there. Don't hide, while he was trying to extract the baby. It's just so disgusting, the things that go on these days. And unfortunately, there are millions of babies who have been slaughtered since Roe versus Wade. In fact, over 56 million. It's a shame and a reproach upon this land. Tells us here we are not to despise the little ones. For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. How think ye, if a man have 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99, and goeth into the mountains, and seeketh that which is gone astray? And you know what? Each and every one of us at one point had gone astray. And he went looking for us. He sought us. And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. I think that's pretty clear. It's a you know, as far as abortion goes, you can't really argue with that. You know, it says, even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. You know, I have a lot of people who have sent me friend requests on Facebook over the years, and There are some people on there that I don't get along with very well, and there's one woman who, she posted something that kind of agitated me a little bit. It was this article written by this so-called pastor, and in it he was defending abortion, and what he was basically saying was that the Bible, nowhere in the Bible does it specifically prohibit abortion, therefore it's okay. I don't think he ever saw this verse. It's very clear, and there are so many people who are skewed in their view, but it's that one was particularly disturbing to me because this was supposed to be a pastor, and he would say something like that. But continuing on in verse 15, it tells us, "Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." And of course, most Christians these days are living far below their privileges. We do have the power of Jesus Christ working in us through the Holy Ghost, and it tells us here in verse 18 that whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything, that they shall ask it, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And we have more than two or three today. I am so thankful for all that are here, and you can rest assured that the Spirit of Jesus Christ is right here with us, in the midst of us. That's what he promised right here. He is right here with us today. Verse 21, "Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven." And of course, that's not meant to be a literal number. It's just a very large number. And really, we are to forgive an infinite amount of times. "Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him and forgave him the debt." Have you ever been moved with compassion? If not, you need to be. I am so thankful that the Lord was moved with compassion towards each and every one of us. He is so willing and ready to forgive us if we just ask for that forgiveness, if we repent of our sins, truly repent, not just in words, but have that change of heart, that willingness to follow our shepherd, our good shepherd, as it tells us in John chapter 10. "But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me that thou owest. So this same man who had been forgiven for so much, he did not have a forgiving heart. And he was not willing to forgive a man who owed much less than he had owed his master. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not relent. He was not moved with compassion as he should have been. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. So they went and told their master what this man had done. And it tells us in verse 32, Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt, because thou desiredest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. And what that's referring to is back at, and in that time, if you owed a debt, you'd be cast into prison, and they would take you out of prison from time to time, out in public, and whip you, hoping that people would have pity on you and toss a few coins, and that money would be used to pay off the debt. Not a very pleasant ordeal, but we see here the importance of forgiveness. And the Bible is very clear. If you're unwilling to forgive, and I mean completely forgive, all trespasses against you, our Heavenly Father is not going to forgive you. It's a requirement. It's not an optional thing. And really, when you finally let go of all those grudges, all that hurt that people tend to hang on to, it's such a relief, such a burden lifted off your shoulders. See, unforgiveness, it drags you down. But when you forgive, there's great liberty in that. There's great peace in that. And when you're willing to do that, then God is willing to forgive you. But if you're not going to do that, tells us in verse 35, So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. We all need to completely forgive all trespasses against us. Amen. Don't hold on to a grudge. It's not worth it. But the main emphasis of this message today is our shepherd, our good shepherd, the one that we read about earlier in this chapter, the 99 sheep, and the one who went missing, and he sought that sheep. He found that sheep. And of course, we were all gone astray at one point or another. He went looking for us. What I'd like to do now is go to Ezekiel chapter 34. This is an amazing chapter. It's prophetic, as so much of the Old Testament is. And it's just really full of important information for all of us here today. It tells us in Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 1, And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel, Prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? And of course, God here is referring to the religious officials of that day, the ones who had led the children of Israel astray. They were not feeding the sheep properly. And of course, that applies to today also. There are many pastors out there who are not feeding their sheep, but instead they choose to get rich off the flock. Ye eat the fat, and ye clothe you with the wool. Ye kill them that are fed, but ye feed not the flock. The diseased have ye not strengthened, neither have ye healed that which was sick, neither have ye bound up that which was broken. Neither have ye brought again that which was driven away, neither have ye sought that which was lost, but with force and with cruelty have ye ruled them. There are many pastors out there, many preachers, many religious officials out there who are not doing their jobs. And God sees that. Of course, this was the case back in the days of the children of Israel, and it's still true today. And they were scattered because there is no shepherd, and they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. Therefore, ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, saith the Lord God, surely because my flock became a prey, and my flock became meat to every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, neither did my shepherds search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves and fed not my flock. Therefore, O ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand, and cause them to cease from feeding the flock. Neither shall the shepherds feed themselves any more, for I will deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may not be meat for them. And how did Jesus deliver that flock? When he came and was on earth and he hung on a cross, delivered us from our sins. For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out. God said he is going to search for us. He's going to seek us out. He's going to find us. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. And we know that our good shepherd, Jesus Christ, has brought deliverance to each and every one of us. I am so thankful for that. And I will bring them out from the people, and gather them from the countries, and will bring them to their own land, and feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers, and in the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in a good pasture, and upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There shall they lie in a good fold, and in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. And I believe in that verse he's speaking of heaven, where we will have good pasture. I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. There is rest when we rely on our Savior, when we follow our shepherd, when we obey his voice. I will seek that which was lost and bring again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which was broken, and will strengthen that which was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong. I will feed them with judgment. There's great judgment coming one day for the shepherds who didn't do their job. They're not going to get away with it. But Jesus came, and he bound up that which was broken. He strengthened that which was sick. Verse 17, and as for you, O my flock, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I judge between cattle and cattle, between the rams and the he-goats. You know, God has a flock, and he likens us to sheep, but there are others out there in the world who aren't sheep, they're goats. And they will be facing that judgment from God. Seemeth it a small thing unto you to have eaten up the good pasture? But ye must tread down with your feet the residue of your pastures, and to have drunk of the deep waters, but ye must follow the residue with your feet. And as for my flock, they eat that which ye have trodden with your feet, and they drink that which ye have followed with your feet. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God unto them, behold, I, even I, will judge between the fat cattle and between the lean cattle. Because ye have thrust with side and with shoulder, and pushed all the disease with your horns, till ye have scattered them abroad. Therefore will I save my flock, and they shall no more be a prey, and I will judge between cattle and cattle. God is saying here, I will save my flock, and he did that. He's still doing that today. And I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David. He shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. And of course, we know that when this was written, David was departed from this earth at this point, but that's not referring to the literal David, but rather a descendant of David, our Lord Jesus Christ. He is our good shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David, a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken it. And when the Lord speaks something, you can be assured of it. What he says will come to pass, and there's no changing it. And I will make with them a covenant of peace, and will cause the evil beast to cease out of the land, and they shall dwell safely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. I am so thankful for that covenant of peace that we have with our Lord. That covenant of peace we have with our good shepherd. And I will make them and the places round about my hill a blessing. And I will cause the shower to come down in his season. There shall be showers of blessing. There are showers of blessing waiting for you. If you're a sheep, heeding the voice of your good shepherd. And the tree of the field shall yield her fruit, and the earth shall yield her increase. And they shall be safe in their land, and shall know that I am the Lord, when I have broken the bands of their yoke, and delivered them out of the hand of those that served themselves of them. And Jesus Christ did that for us. He broke the bands of their yoke. He delivered us. He set us free. And they shall no more be a prey to the heathen, neither shall the beasts of the land devour them, but they shall dwell safely, and none shall make them afraid. And I will raise up for them a plant of renown, and they shall be no more consumed with hunger in the land, neither bear the shame of the heathen any more. Thus shall they know that I, the Lord their God, am with them, and that they, even the house of Israel, are my people, saith the Lord God. And ye, my flock, the flock of my pasture, are men. And I am your God, saith the Lord God. So in verse 31, he tells us exactly what he was talking about in his prophecy. The sheep spoken of, the flock. It very clearly states in verse 31 that that flock is men, and of course women too. The Bible is written in the masculine gender, but that applies to women too. We are God's flock. We are his sheep. I wasn't planning to do this, but why don't we go over to John chapter 10 for a few verses, because it fits so well with what we're studying today. In John chapter 10, verse 1, it tells us, Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. You know, there is only one way to heaven. There's only one way to reach God, and that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our good shepherd, and we can only go through him. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. It tells us here that Jesus calls us by name. And he leads us, each and every one of us. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. If you recognize that voice of the Savior calling you, you will gladly follow him. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. Those evil shepherds spoken of in Ezekiel 34, I believe that's what Jesus is referencing there. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. And sadly, there are a lot of hirelings out there today. They don't care about the sheep, but what they can take from the sheep. Verse 14, I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. And the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. He freely, willingly gave his life for us, so that we could be delivered. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. And they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold, and one shepherd. You know who Jesus was talking about in verse 16? You and I. Other sheep have I. We didn't even exist then at that point, but he could see us afar off. And he knew that he would bring us into his fold. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. You know, Jesus didn't have to do what he did for us. He didn't have to go to that cross. He didn't have to bear that pain, that crown of thorns. He did that for us. There was no man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. There was a division, therefore, again among the Jews for these sayings. And many of them said, He hath a devil, and is mad. Why hear ye him? Others said, These are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? And of course, we know that a devil cannot do that. And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. See, they didn't recognize the good shepherd. They couldn't hear his voice because they weren't sheep. They were goats. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. You know, once you are securely in the grasp of our good shepherd, in the grasp of our Savior, there is no one who can pluck you out of his hand. The devil might try, but he can't. We're assured of that in these verses. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. And of course, we know that Jesus Christ, when he walked the earth, was both God and man. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, Many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do ye stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, For a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. They did not recognize the Good Shepherd. They could not hear his voice. They weren't comprehending this. Jesus answered them, Is it not written in your law, I said, Ye are gods? If he called them gods unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world, Thou blasphemest, because I said, I am the Son of God? If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though ye believe not me, believe the works, that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. Therefore they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of their hand. It wasn't quite time yet for Jesus to go to the cross. That would be coming soon enough, but at this point he escaped their hand and went away again beyond Jordan into the place where John at first baptized, and there he abode. And many resorted unto him and said, John did no miracle, but all things that John spake of this man were true. And many believed on him there. Thank God for the sheep that believed on him. Amen. Praise the Lord. What I'd like to do now is go to 1 Peter chapter 2. I hadn't intended to read the entire 10th chapter of John. I guess it just turned out that way. I didn't know where to stop. So, but it's a wonderful chapter. Anyway, in 1 Peter chapter 2, let's continue on. Chapter 2, verse 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. You know, when you first come to God, we're fed a little bit at a time, sincere milk of the word. And as we grow and get stronger in the Lord, then we can handle more of the meat in the scriptures, get deeper and deeper into the word. To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. And we are the temple of the living God today. We are all stones in that temple. And not just stones that never do anything, that just sit still, but lively stones. Amen. There's nothing wrong with being lively. You know, we're not supposed to just sit here like bumps on a log, but it tells us here, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, if you follow the Good Shepherd, if you obey his voice, you will not be confounded. We know that God is not the author of confusion. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. Even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. We know that Jesus Christ is our chief cornerstone, and we build our lives upon him. We are stones in his temple, lively stones. But for those who refuse to believe on him, they stumble on that rock. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Jesus Christ has brought us into his marvelous light. He's called us to be a holy nation, a peculiar people. And yes, we even have a priesthood in the kingdom of God. We think about that and what an honor that is. We're not worthy of that, but thankfully, when we come to God, he doesn't give us what we deserve. In fact, he blesses us with that shower of blessings that we read about in Ezekiel chapter 34. Which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. You know, we were lost. We had all gone astray. We weren't together as a people of God, but he went out. He looked for us. He searched for us. He found us. He brought us together. He gathered the flock unto himself. We have obtained his mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may be your good works which they shall behold, they may by your good works which they shall behold glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. And of course, we understand this to mean that we are to obey the law of the land as long as it doesn't contradict the law of God. If there's a law decreed that tells you to be disobedient to the Lord, then we don't obey that law, but if it's a law that doesn't prevent us from obeying God, then it tells us here to just obey it. But we know, of course, in Daniel, when it was decreed that Daniel could no longer pray, he went and he did it anyway. And it's not so far-fetched that they would try to do something like that again in these days. But you know, any law that doesn't force you to disobey the Lord, we're just supposed to obey those laws, whether we like them or not. There are some laws that seem a bit silly, and I know most of us don't enjoy paying taxes either, but that's the law. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing he may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. For this is thankworthy if a man, for conscience toward God, endure grief, suffering wrongfully. You know, when you suffer wrongfully in this world, God sees that. And we know that Jesus Christ suffered wrongfully as well. He had done nothing to deserve the punishment meted out to him, but he did it anyway to bring about our salvation. For what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. When you're patient and you're faithful in your endeavors, you work hard, even if you're abused, God sees that. It doesn't go unnoticed. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. He took those stripes on his back. He was whipped, his back ripped open, so that we could receive healing. Just as was spoken of in Ezekiel chapter 34. And he went to that cross, so that through his death we could live. Verse 25 tells us, "For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls." Our shepherd gathered us unto himself. He is the shepherd of our souls. I am so thankful for our good shepherd and what he has done for us. And I know that we're all eagerly awaiting the return of our Savior, and sometimes we wonder, you know, the world has gotten so bad, it's getting worse all the time. How can God stand this? Why hasn't he come yet? The reason he hasn't come yet is because there's still sheep out there. He's still seeking those sheep. He's still finding those sheep. And when he finds the very last one, that's when he will return. I'd like to go now to the book of James for just a couple of verses. James chapter 5. James chapter 5, verse 7 tells us, "Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain." That precious fruit of the earth that he's speaking of, that's you and I, and all who would come to the Lord in the future. I'm so thankful for his patience, for his long suffering. You know, I remember as a young boy, getting ready to be baptized. I was going to be baptized in a few days by my dad, and I remember thinking, boy, I sure hope the Lord doesn't come before I'm baptized. But it tells us here that the Lord has long patience, and he is gathering the sheep. "Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh." We're getting closer and closer to that day. He's gathering sheep, but there's less and less of them all the time, and a day is coming when he will find that last sheep. He's a very patient, long-suffering God. I am so thankful for his willingness to seek us out, to search for us, to deliver us. He is our good shepherd. And of course, his sheep know his voice. And he is the shepherd of our souls. Praise the Lord. And it's my message for today. I'm going to close with a prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee for the many lessons in thy holy word. We thank thee for the scriptures that thou hast given us. We ask, O God, that these words would not leave us, but that they would sink down deeply into our hearts, that they would be with us even as we go about our days in the coming weeks, that we would think upon you, that we would ponder thy scriptures, that we would heed thy voice. For we know that thou art the good shepherd, and that thou sought us and bought us and redeemed us with thy saving blood. We thank thee, O God, for all that thou hast done. And we ask, O God, that thou wouldst help us to always be mindful of thee and never forget that thou art our good shepherd and that thou art the shepherd of our souls. We pray this in Jesus' name for the power of thy saving blood. Amen. We'll sing a chorus, number 78 in the chorus book, Keep on Walking by Faith. Keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know He won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know He won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Praise the Lord. You are dismissed unto prayer.